With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Perhaps one of my favorite series to do on this channel is the paranormal stories that you guys send me. I myself have had a few paranormal experiences throughout my life, and I can assure you, I just can't explain them. You guys sent me plenty of stories, and today I share 10 of those. If you have a story that you'd like to share in a future video, be sure to send it to the email that you can find in the description below. I would love to share your story. My husband and I moved into an old carriage house that used to be an old servant's quarters to the mansion next door. We have both heard the rumors and stories that the place was haunted, but never paid them much attention. I guess I should give you a brief history of the two properties. Once upon a time, the mansion and the carriage house took up a whole city block. Now, they belong to two different owners and are now two separate properties. Back when the house was built, the top floor was nothing but a giant hay loft. The main floor housed the hired help. There is a decent-sized dining room, kitchen, and front room. There are two bedrooms upstairs, and 1.5 baths. There is also a basement that looks like it was used strictly for storage. However, off to one side of the basement, there is a hallway that just suddenly ends. There used to be an underground service tunnel between the carriage house and the mansion that has since been filled in and sealed, hence the hallway that leads nowhere. Much has been said about the goings-ons between these two places, none of which I can actually confirm. Now, back to my story. In recent years, the giant loft above the residence has been converted into a large 3-bedroom apartment. My husband and I have moved into the top floor, and my younger brother, his wife, and kids moved into the main floor. It was the perfect arrangement, or so we thought. For the first few months, things were awesome. It wasn't until our 3rd month living there that we started experiencing paranormal activity. It started with little things around the house disappearing, and then showing back up a few days later in the same spot they were left. Soon after, we started hearing disembodied voices, doors opening and closing on their own, and footsteps in the attic. One night, my husband and I were lying in bed watching television when we could clearly hear somebody walking across the floor in the attic above our heads. I decided to go check it out, so I got out of bed, grabbed a flashlight, and made my way down the hallway to drop down the attic. As I pulled the string and unfolded the stairs, the footsteps stopped. I hesitated at the bottom for a second as I realized that the only way into the attic is from these very set of stairs, and I was about to climb them. Cold chills ran up and down my spine as I cautiously started to climb. With just my head and shoulders in the attic so far, I scanned the attic with my flashlight, but I saw nothing. I decided to continue up into the attic. I made my way over to the light bulb and pulled the chain. There was nothing out of place, and nobody there. Feeling relieved and a bit silly, I was going to chalk it up to just hearing things. That is when I noticed the footprints in the dust. They were child-sized and appeared to be made by bare feet. A child's giggle came from the back of the attic where we had stored all of our Christmas decorations. It sounded like a little girl, around the age of 5 or 6. "Come find me," the voice called. That was it for me. I was out of the attic so fast that I scraped the back of my calves, legs, and upper back sliding down the wooden steps. Needless to say, I cleansed the apartment and everything calmed down for a while. What I didn't realize was that whatever had left my place had settled in my brother's place downstairs. Several weeks had gone by with no activity until my mother-in-law came to visit. My husband and I were sound asleep when his mother comes barreling through the bedroom door in tears and hysterical. She keeps saying that there was a little girl out there, but she couldn't see her. Not wanting to scare her further, I did not tell her about my experience. I told her it was probably one of my brother's kids watching televisions below us, and they probably had it up too loud. The next morning, I visited my brother and his wife and asked them if they had been experiencing anything unusual. They admitted that they had, and two of their kids had seen and heard a little girl. My brother also told me that there seemed to be an ominous presence in the basement, so they avoided it like the plague. It was almost a month or so later that my brother and his family moved out, claiming that they had had enough. Taking advantage of having access to the entire building at that point, I cleaned the place up from top to bottom. That was 4 years ago, and since then, we have only had a handful of experiences, and it's just been with voices.
These stories both happened to me over the past few years. My Boy Scout troop had been camping inside historic Gettysburg, Pennsylvania for Memorial Day weekend, as it had been a tradition for our troop to go there and earn the 10-mile hike medal. We also did some sightseeing. Our Boy Scout troop visits every 4 years, and I had gone twice now already. On my first visit back in 2013, I had only stayed for 1 day because I had gotten sick to my stomach due to a stomach bug that was going around. Although up to the moments I'd gotten sick, I swear, I kept seeing things out of the corner of my eye. I know it may sound cheesy, but I swear it felt like I was being watched by something. Around lunchtime of that day, we had sat down on the benches and had lunch. Keep in mind, this happened before I had gotten sick. I was sitting by myself because I had only joined the troop about 4 months before we had gone to Gettysburg, so I still didn't have many friends yet. As I was eating, I saw something quickly duck behind a bush in the tree line. Now, I know that couldn't have been a person because there was lots of poison ivy in the woods, and our scoutmaster had specifically instructed us not to go near the woods to avoid touching the plants. But when I saw something quickly tuck its head into the bushes, the second I looked over at it, I had felt an eerie feeling of dread for a while. We went to the visitor center of the park, and we also went into the gift shop. At this point, I was feeling terrible and just decided to sit down. The feeling got worse until I had quickly run outside to throw up into a trash can on the sidewalk. My scoutmaster asked if I wanted to go back to the camp, so I agreed and went to my tent. At this point, it was around 3 o'clock or so. I called for a ride home, but my family lives almost 2 hours from Gettysburg, so they weren't exactly going to be getting me immediately. In this time, I decided to go to sleep to wait for them. When I woke up, my parents had showed up, and they just told me to rest in the car. I'd gotten into the car and went on my way home. But before we left Gettysburg, as we went down the battlefield, I saw a mist form in a certain patch of the window, right near where I had been resting my head. And that was it for my first Gettysburg visit. Now, fast forward 4 years to 2017. I was 16 at the time, and I was planning on just trying not to get sick and enjoying the weekend. I didn't get sick this time, so I was able to see all of the historical sites for the first time, but something unusual happened to some of my troop members one night. So we decided it was a good idea to walk the battlefield at night, just to see what it was like. I had agreed and went with 5 other members of the troop. But by the time we walked from our campsite to the entrance of the battlefield, 2 of the guys decided to turn around because they were afraid of the park at night. So they headed back, just leaving the 3 of us. We walked onto the battlefield, but only got about 50 yards in before we saw a huge rock get thrown from the road. This rock had to have been 40, 50 pounds. So I can't explain it showing up like that other than someone from our troop throwing it. We decided not to stay, so we ran away from whoever or whatever was throwing that rock at us. On our way back, we saw the 2 guys who had left us earlier. We ran right past them and all the way to the campsite. We asked if everyone was in camp, and our scoutmaster told us that they were just waiting on the 2 boys that we had just run past. So there was nobody from our camp that threw that rock, because no one else left the camp. And the other 2 guys didn't even enter the battlefield, so it couldn't have been them. To this day, I think back on the situation. I don't believe it could have been possible for somebody to throw a rock that big and that far from the road to the battlefield. Sometimes these stories cross my mind, but I don't really know what happened to me on both occasions of me visiting Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm a male, and when this happened, I was around 16 in the early 1980s. A friend and I hooked up with 2 girls our age in Queens, New York. Never seen these girls before. We all got along drinking buds and smoking weed. These were the post-tippy days, so everyone was partying at an early age. We wanted a private spot and decided to go on to the crematory, which was nearby. So we off went by, passing off these gravestones, looking for a grassy spot to lie down, and found one. The spot we chose was right next to a crematory. It was surrounded by grass and was the only somewhat pleasant area in the whole cemetery. I would assume because there was sun and grass, and a perfect spot to mess around nonetheless. My friend went all the way around the wall of the crematory to be alone with his new kind of girlfriend thing, and to give us some privacy. We started making out, etc. Then it hit me. I smelled smoke, so I looked up and noticed the chimney was stacking with smoke. I suddenly realized, holy shit, they're actually burning bodies right now. I didn't even know this place was being used anymore. It was cool and creepy at the same time. Being a teenager and not caring really because we were in the moment, so we started kissing again. About 10 minutes later, I heard yelling. It was my friend. We heard commotion but couldn't hear what they were saying. Then, like a bat out of hell, my friend ran past me screaming, "Run!" A guy is chasing us. This girl wasn't with him. So I did the same. Then I heard the guy behind me screaming, "I'm going to kill you, you little shits." That's when I knew he wasn't kidding. I was so fast and ran away so goddamn fast until his voice got faded. And the only thing I could think of was that this guy must be running the crematory. Unfortunately, I never saw those 2 girls again. I don't even know who they were to begin with. I just hope it wasn't them in the smoke on later that day. I'm sure I would have heard something on the news, though. A shout out to those girls if you're watching this video right now. Just want to say sorry for leaving you in the dust. This happened early 2013 in Middlebury, Vermont. One night, I was in my living room when I noticed a ball of light outside my window, above the treetops to the north side of my house in the yard. I didn't know what it was. So, I went over to the kitchen to look at it a little more clearly. It was shimmering. It was kind of a white beige color, and the outside had a rim of either red or green. I couldn't tell what color it was, which is interesting, because I'm not colorblind. But It was like when you look at a light after getting out of a chlorinated pool. My mind was racing as my brain tried to explain to me what I was looking at. It told me it was an ambulance. Then I realized it wasn't an ambulance. Next, my brain told me it was a flying ambulance. Then I corrected myself and told myself there were no such things as flying ambulances, and they don't have those. Then I corrected myself again and told me they do have those. They're called helicopters. But that's not a helicopter. I stared at it in disbelief for at least a minute and a half. And as I looked at this thing, the ball of light just stretched. I remember it clearly. It got longer and thinner and longer and thinner and longer and thinner, until it was just so long and thin that it collapsed inward and disappeared on itself and was completely gone. I just stood there in awe, staring at the spot where it just was, thinking it would come back if I kept looking at it. But it never did. Then, I was hit with this incredible fear that it was some kind of alien and I was about to be abducted. I remember thinking how much of a unique thing this was and what a weird fear it is. Aliens coming into the house. And how I'd never even thought about protecting myself from aliens before, and how I'd probably never would again. I ran into my room, loaded a shotgun, and hid in my back room. I was scared as hell, while also feeling ridiculous. And then it hit me that if the aliens came into my house, A, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. B, having a gun is definitely going to get me killed. And C, if they were going to come in my house, they would have done it by now. Which was weirdly calming. Nothing happened. There was no missing time, and eventually I calmed down. But I still remember it clearly, like it happened last night. Some people have suggested it was a ball of lightning, but ball lightning looks all staticky and clearly looks like electricity, and it moves around. This was completely smooth and stayed still. I have no idea what it was. In 2016, I went inside a shop in a city in the Southwest Prairies with my brother. Of course, and I am not joking, it was dark and a cloudy day, and it was raining. At the time, I was 15 and happened to be in the neighborhood for unrelated reasons. I was not aware of any specific stories about the shop, which was previously a coffee shop and a house, and only knew that it was apparently haunted. I am not a believer in any type of organized religion, but do consider myself a skeptic in all aspects of the unknown. At the time of my encounter, I was on the second floor of the shop with my brother. The upstairs was extremely cluttered and messy. I decided to slide on between them. There were these two thin metal shelves to see a hallway at the end. What looked like a bathroom, at least I could see a toilet paper roll. I started walking towards the bathroom, which had a sharp turn that prevented me from viewing the other portion of the bathroom when I heard a sound. It sounded like a large man exhaling behind me, right next to my ear. After that, I rushed away from the hallway and told my brother we were leaving. I was noticeably shaken and he asked what had happened. Trying to keep him from freaking out, I didn't tell him about what I had just experienced until we were in the car. After, I became obsessed with what had happened. I spent a lot of time researching the internet for other people's encounters. Apparently, a lot of odd things have happened in or near the bathroom I had been walking towards. Freaks me out still, and I haven't been able to find anything about why he was there or it was there. The paranormal is a part of everyone's life, but not everyone notices it. My first encounter was around 18 years ago when I was 10. It was Christmas morning when I'd lost my father. It was a devastating point for all of us. Since then, I don't want to celebrate Christmas. Anyway, let's get to the point. The day after the funeral, I was sitting in my room. I was bummed. I didn't want to accept the truth of what happened. I heard my father's voice calling my name. Not once. Not twice, but three times. I couldn't believe my ears. I raced out of my room to the kitchen. My eyes were starting to water because I didn't see him. I started to cry and head back into my room. Then I realized that it was a very bright winter's day. I mean, it was freaking December 26. And then I saw him. My dad was standing before me, smiling, surrounded by light. I stared at him for what seemed to be hours. Then suddenly, light started to flicker, and I heard him talk directly to me. He said, "I'm sorry. Be good. I have to go now. Goodbye." And then he disappeared with the light. That was my last memory of him. The next experience was 4 years ago, when I was in my neighbor's house. My neighbor, let's call him Z, lived with her father, let's call him A, who by the way was a creepy guy. However, Z was gifted. She could see the future through cards. I was stunned when she told me that she knew things about me that I never told anybody. I went there often times, but every time I took even the slightest look at A, my head started to hurt like hell. When I shared that to Z, she told me that she thought I was sensitive. Every time when I get a headache, I was in a way of cleansing the negative energy. It didn't make much sense to me at first. I shook it off because that couldn't be true. After the seance, you know, the cards, she told me that I have a big hole in my heart. A hole of pain and sorrow. She started to cry and told me that soon, very soon I would lose someone very dear to me, and I needed to be strong. After that, I stopped going there for a week, and later, she died, leaving behind her awful father. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but he was evil. I can't explain how I know. I just know. 10 days after Z's death, A got ill and died. I know my story isn't as exciting as others, but it's true. It was super weird and very crazy. I'm 28 now, and I still get that feeling. First off, sorry for my English. It's not my mother language. Now to the story. I'm 19 years old. My younger sister is 13. We always wanted to try the Ouija board after we read all these stories and watched movies. We didn't really believe that someone or something could communicate with us through the board. We tried it a few times, and every time someone tried to talk to us, we made our own Ouija board out of cardboard, tinted our windows, lighted candles, and started our session. We put our hands on the glass and asked if someone was there. The glass started to move slowly. We both looked up at each other and started to ask if we did it. We even picked up our hands a few times to make sure it was not us. So, the glass went on the yes. I started asking questions and it answered. It said that it was a guy, and it's a bad ghost who wants to hurt us. Then the glass moved on the letters and started writing, H-A, H-A. I was surprised and asked if he's making fun of us. He answered, yes. Then he started to spell words like, I need help. We asked what kind of help he needs. It was creepy, and I could feel my hand burning and my sister's fingers were hurting, but we tried to stay calm. He continued to talk. I want to go to Mom. We looked at each other with fear and confusion. I didn't know what to do. I asked if his mom was dead, and he answered no. We didn't know if he was making fun of us or if he's lying. Why would he say that he is a bad ghost if he needed help? We decided to end the game. But when he wanted to end it, he kept moving the glass to no. We ended it anyway with a weird feeling and headache. Now, the next day, when we almost forgot about that, we watched TV, when suddenly we heard a loud growl from down the hall. It was scary, and we checked the whole house, but no one was there. When we got back to our room, we heard it again, but now it was longer and continued with voices. It was so scary, like thousands of people were talking and yelling. After this experience, we burned our Ouija board, and we'll never try it again. In 1992, I rented a house in Fredericksburg, Virginia, following several years of living abroad. It was a rather pleasant house, a ranch design, and an older neighborhood. There were many large trees that gave shade in the summer, and a wooded area behind the house, along with friendly neighbors and a genuinely placid calm overall. It was a nice place to live. There was not a hint that this house was haunted by an active, though unhappy, ghost. As ghost implies, a frightening specter in my mind. I think I prefer the term spirit. The house haunting was confirmed to be human. The haunting did not begin immediately. Months passed, perhaps a year. It began unannounced. There was no warning of any kind, nor even a hint of warning from the landlord. On what I recall as a very lovely late summer day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our front entry door opened with a bang, and the loud chatter of swinging Venetian blinds. My wife and son were with me in our family room watching television. My daughter was serving in the military and was far off and unexpected. Our heads snapped sharply as we quickly looked at each other's faces, looking for a hint of understanding regarding of what was happening. There was none. Two probabilities came to mind. The first being my daughter home on unexpected leave, with the intent of surprising us. The second was criminal home invasion. After a moment spent gathering my wits, I moved from the family room to the living room. I found our entry door wide open, the blinds which covered its window still swaying side to side. The door, for those prone to detail, opened inward. There was no apparent explanation for what had happened. That door was little used by our family and was kept locked. The door was rather difficult to open, as the door itself was simply stuck in the frame. It took a lot of effort to open, and when the door finally did, it popped free rather heavily as a result of being stuck or jammed, and the force it took to open it, the metal Venetian blinds would swing and sway and clatter, in all, annoying enough that our front door was almost never used. After that first experience, things changed. The front door continued to open, although not frequently. The back door would also be found open from time to time. Bedroom doors opened much more frequently, though, and one bedroom in particular. As we were never in fear, and there was no show of hostility, we accepted our new reality. There may also have been an occasional noise during the night, but nothing of real note. We simply adopted whoever this was and often spoke to them with simple greetings or conversation. This came to an end for us in 1998, when it was time to return to my work abroad. Movers came to take away our belongings. While this went on, the lady living next door spoke to me over the fence and asked if anything unusual happened during our stay. I affirmed that it had. Then she told me the following. A woman and her daughter lived in that house in the years past. The girl, a high school student, was 16 or 17 years of age. On New Year's Eve, the girl wanted to attend a party. The mother declined because of severe ice storms. The girl went anyway. The mother waited up to early hours for her daughter to return before crying herself to sleep. The mother was awakened by crying and discovered her daughter sitting in the chair next to her bed. The girl sobbed, "Oh mother, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." The girl repeated her statement and then vanished. After 3 days of searching, the girl's car was located upside down in a canal used by a local power company to produce electricity. The girl's body was in the car, which had slid off the icy road into the frozen canal. The woman who told me this was the sister of the girl's mother, making her the aunt of the girl. They had lived side by side as neighbors as well as relatives. I recall all of this with great clarity. This is a true and accurate presentation of what I had experienced.
Lately, my sensitivity has been a bit more extreme. I'm not sure what the cause could be, but it seems to be happening in clusters or episodes. I can go weeks without an experience, and I can go days of experiencing crazy shit. Since I was a little girl, I knew I was different. I felt different. I hardly spoke. I was very emotional for a 6 or 7 year old, and I felt presences from time to time. Nothing too terrifying. No imaginary friends or apparitions, no voices. I could just feel and sense the presence enter the room. Sometimes, heavier and more bold and staticky, if that makes sense. There would be specific areas of a house that I literally would not go near, but I didn't understand what any of this meant. The older I got and get, the more intense it gets, especially when I begin my career as a registered nurse. I joke that I was cursed with this blessing, although there are others like me who experience way more. At first, I used to try to disprove it, even with the events and logics, with science and stuff like that. I have quite a few events that I've experienced that may be scary to some, but it's weird as hell to me. As mentioned before, the older I got, the more intense the experiences became. I was starting to hear, and what I thought was my husband's voice call my name. I never answered because I just didn't feel right when I heard it, and when he walked back in the room, I'd ask him about it and he swore he was not calling me. I witnessed an object fly off the table, and when I picked it up to return to its place, it immediately flew off the table again. I'd hear random banging or knocking in different areas of the house when I was home alone. My husband and I were in bed one night, lights off for at least a good hour. Then, the light turned on by itself. I mostly turned the light off manually using the chain on the ceiling fan. I got up to turn it back off, and once I did, our computer turned on by itself. This is just a brief description of a few incidences. I worked on the 8th floor at a hospital in the St. Louis area, the medical oncology floor. We took care of adult patients and cancer and stuff like that. Patients that had medically treatable diagnoses like dehydration or pneumonia or stuff like that would go into hospice. We kept them as comfortable as possible until they took their last breath. We did not take care of children, because we were not a pediatric floor. Anyways, our floor was known as the floor to have a bowl of assorted candy at both nurses' stations, and anyone was welcome to it. Visitors, doctors, even the hospital chaplain. And not the boring peppermint candies either. A variety of good stuff. There was one unit, secretary, that was mostly involuntarily in charge of keeping the bowls full. Often paying for the bowls weren't really refilled, and if they were, there was only a few pieces of the boring peppermint candies. This went on for weeks, not really sure why no one kept it going while the secretary unit was out. I was walking down the hall towards the elevators away from the patient rooms to head down to the cafeteria. Now this is going to sound crazy, and not to make much sense, but I know what I heard. Behind me, I heard a little girl whisper, "Where's the candy?" Although it was a whisper, it was loud enough for me to turn around. There was no one behind me, and the closest person in front of me when I turned back around was an adult man at least 30 feet in front of me, walking in the same direction that I was. It was clear as day. It sounded as if a little girl was right next to me, seriously asking me about the candy. I'm not sure why, though. I thought it's not like she could eat it. This is my very first post ever, but I'll definitely have to share more with you later. So no bullshit. My buddy had this creepy-ass property where things would happen all the time. Unexplained noises and lights. This is just one of my weird stories from my life thus far, and I'm going to share more soon. So this happened many years ago, around when I was 10 or so. My buddy, I'll call him Gary, and I would often go to his place because he had a big property with lots of space for 10-year-olds to run around and play army and whatnot. They had this old tree that his dad referred to as the witch tree because it was old, tall, and it had never any leaves on it, but it wasn't dead. His house had always been creepy, and I had seen orbs in the odd mist, and I didn't like being alone in that house. So one calm winter day, we were running around the yard exploring as always, when my buddy, being the smartass that he is, dared me to go and touch the tree. Of course, I had to prove that I was a tough 10-year-old and started over the frozen swamp to touch it. As soon as I stepped on the swamp, the wind picked up and continued to blow harder and harder the closer I got to the tree. I was still a couple of feet from the tree, wind howling, and I reached out my hand to touch the tree. As soon as I touched the tree, the wind went from 80 kilometers in an hour to just dead still. It freaked us the fuck out, so we noped out of there. The tree is still there, having survived tornadoes and countless storms. I want to check it out again when I go there next. Thank you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.